Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Muskegon History and Beyond with the Lakeshore Museum Center. My name is Pat Horn. From the 1830s onward, Muskegon County would see the development of many villages, towns, and cities. As industries such as lumbering boomed, it brought money and jobs, which in turn spurred growth. While we tend to focus on the towns that made it and were successful, it is just as fascinating to look at the towns who grew and flourished, and then for one reason or another, faded away, eventually becoming ghost towns. Today, we look at the rise and fall of one of those ghost towns of Muskegon County, a small village called Trent. This podcast came about really by accident. While I was looking at a Google map of the county for another project, I scrolled across an area on the map that was labeled Former Community of Trent. Right away, I was intrigued. I'd never heard of a Trent in Muskegon County, and I was curious why it had a map marker and why it was a former. I tried to get a road view of the area, but Trent was located along a dirt road now, and it wasn't photographed by Google Maps. This was even more intriguing. What did this community look like? Why was it there, and how did it fade away? These are the questions I'm going to try and answer today for you. Let's begin with its location. Trent was located on Crockery Creek, about 6.5 miles northwest of Casanova in Casanova Township. If you look at a map, it was located on today's White Road in between Baylor and Trent Road. Trent was one of the older locations in the county. It got its start in 1852 when a C.C. Darling built a sawmill on Crockery Creek in that location. A few years later, the Whitney brothers purchased the mill and a surrounding 700 acres for farming. They would dam the creek, forming a mill pond, and turn the sawmill in 1857 into a grist mill to serve their farm and their surrounding neighbors. The grist mill would expand over the years to be a four-story building, and its mill pond would be the focal point of the community in the early years. The pond provided a great swimming beach, a place to boat, fishing grounds, and in the winter a place to skate. Residents also cut ice out of the lake and stored it in a nearby warehouse to fill their ice boxes year-round. The town was originally named Whitneyville in honor of the brothers and their mill, but it was later renamed Trent after a rail station nearby. In 1861, a sawmill was built a bit further north along the creek, and the town attracted workers and their families to operate the sawmill and grist mill. These businesses, in turn, attracted a blacksmith. Trent, in the early 1900s, had three blacksmith shops, providing for the mills but also the local farmers. The blacksmith shop was also home to weekend entertainment in the form of boxing matches between the youth of the area. In 1872, a Dr. Sins moved to the area and ran a practice and drugstore. Around this time as well, a general store was built in town. It sold dry goods, but also other types of groceries and supplies needed by the local farmers. It was the first place to get a telephone and served as the post office. In the 1930s, it had a gas pump to serve the new automobiles that were becoming popular. The general store stayed in business until the 1950s. One of the biggest and well-known buildings in town, though, had to be the Grange Hall that was constructed in 1879. The Trent Grange Organization was created on April 3, 1874, and as soon as it formed, had over 100 members. At that time, the largest gathering space in town for the group was the school, but even that could not hold everyone, so the members worked together to make a club hall. The Whitney brothers played a big role in donating land for the building along the main street, really the only street in town, but also donating lumber for its construction. It took a few years, but the end result was a two-story wooden building measuring 30 feet by 60 feet and being 22 feet high. Now at this point, you may be wondering, what exactly is a grange? Well, the Trent Grange was number 372 and was not the only one in Muskegon County. The grange was designated as a farmers' organization to bring the community together to form a force for farmers' rights and issues and as a welfare system for those struggling in the farming community. The Grange even had its own store in Trent for members for many years. One thing that made the Grange a little different from other groups across the nation, such as the Masons, was that they allowed women and children to join. Thus, their numbers filled rapidly. But also, the society became a social club. The Trent Grange filled this role for much of the area. The lower floor had a kitchen for preparing meals, for gatherings, and some smaller spaces. But the entire upper floor was a large auditorium for talks, shows, musical performances, and dances. The Grange and its large auditorium held events for members but quickly expanded outward. It was noted in the Muskegon Chronicle that nearly every public official in Muskegon County had spoken from its rostrum. The Grange served as the main dance and music hall in the area, holding these regularly. But they had special events as well, such as in 1882, when the State Teachers Institute for Muskegon County held a teacher training / certification there for 14 educators. In the 1950s, they held the Muskegon County Cinderella Contest there, and in 1952 had a meeting on soil conservation in southern Muskegon County, where farmers shared tips and tricks on the subject. Even as the town started to fade, the Grange remained one of the big draws. Trent, though, also had another organizational hall in town. In June of 1884, an Odd Fellows Hall was constructed and opened in town. The Odd Fellows, similarly to the Grange, was an organization to take care of its members' health, knowledge, and welfare. The fact that Trent had both the Odd Fellows and Grange showed this community was really well bonded together. The Odd Fellows Hall disappeared sometime in the 1930s. Other ways the village joined together was the creation of a band in 1949 and the Trent baseball team. The Trent Nine, as they were called, were in the early 1890s one of the better teams, often getting the better of Casanova and Bailey. But I did find a letter sent to the Chronicle in 1899 in which a resident bemoans the team and their terrible play since the 1894 season. This same letter also gives us some insight into the village's population at that time. Trent, it seems, had about 200 to 300 residents that called it home, and the article mentions that the local school had around 50 students. The original school was called Poplar Valley and was on the east side of the town past the mill pond. The school was constructed with donated material and labor. Like many county schools, it was a one-room school. It would burn down in the 1930s and be replaced by another school built by the community. This new school was a one-room schoolhouse to start with, but later had additions on the side, one room to prepare hot meals and another as a coat room. Trent had a school in operation until 1962 when it merged with nearby Casanova. While quote-unquote downtown Trent was very small, it drew from the neighboring farming community. The grist mill in town provided milling for many of the nearby crops, and we can learn a bit about the selection of the local farmers. At a Muskegon Union Fair in 1901, which was a market/showroom contest, local Trent residents took home many ribbons and prizes for their produce, and Ivel Whitney in particular. Crops that won prizes were red and white wheat varieties, oats, yellow corn and popcorn, three different pumpkin varieties, watermelon, red onions, and American Wonder potatoes. The area was also well known for growing peaches and buckwheat, with the mill having a yearly buckwheat grinding day, which in 1915 they ground 200 bushels of buckwheat. That's roughly about 5 tons worth. So what exactly happened to Trent? Why is it no longer around? This question is difficult to answer. In 1920, the grist mill burned down. This mill provided a lot of local jobs, but also a place for nearby farmers to produce their grains. Without the mill in town, many farmers had to look elsewhere for their grain needs and likely brought their business to that other location. The Mill Pond Dam would also break sometime following the mill's fire. The pond had provided the village with entertainment, fishing, and ice, and served as a community gathering spot. The Great Depression followed closely behind these disasters. Merle Proctor, who wrote and illustrated a great book called Trent, A Michigan Ghost Town, which if you can find it is a great place to learn more about Trent, mentions that her father, who was a Trent resident, worked for the WPA to get money for his family during the Depression, but that food for residents was not a large issue due to almost everyone there growing their own crops. In the 1930s, the general store received a gas pump, and Merrill mentions that when the family could afford it, they would go on Sunday rides. By 1950, though, the general store had closed, and as mentioned earlier, the school in Trent closed in 1962. The Trent Grange is mentioned in the paper a few times in the 1950s, but by the 1960s, news about Trent disappears, and it seems the town slowly faded into obscurity. It does show up on maps of the area in the early 1970s, but by the 1980s, Trent no longer appears on any of the maps that I saw. There is no set date or event that caused Trent to disappear, but I suspect that as automobiles became more popular and available, this small town lost customers who went to larger areas for their needs. If you visit Trent today, there's really not much remaining. The Grange Hall, which was such a draw and pillar of the community, still stands today, though it is long abandoned and boarded up, and is slowly succumbing to time. There are a few old barns nearby that likely existed during Trent's heyday, but the area is mostly a country residential area on a dirt road with some farms nearby. Nothing that would let you know of its deep history and the small village that once existed here. Thank you for joining us on Muskegon History and Beyond, and we hope you enjoyed learning a bit about this little slice of Muskegon County's past.